yesterday when I was speaking to Megan and making some preparations, I was venting frustrations with her because this format is cramping my style. I always like to launch talks with a funny story or a joke of some sort. But boy, I just can't hear anybody laughing or groaning, which is really what I'm going for. So I just share that with you, a little bit of frustration. And now that that's out of the way, by repeating the same prayer of praise, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Today is Easter Sunday. Today we celebrate the greatest of all miracles, victory over death itself. 2 weeks ago, a very old and very, very dear friend of mine asked me a question that obviously came from the context of what is going on with the coronavirus. And the question that he asked me was this: Mike, do you think that this is the end of the world? I thought about it for a second, and then I answered him and I said, yes and no. If you're asking me if this is the end of the human species, then no, definitely not. If you're asking me if it's the end of the world as we have known it, then yes, absolutely, positively. Because things will never be the same, and we will never be the same, both individually and collectively. But what exactly will it look like? That depends on if what we are going through will inspire us to remove the stone. Before I take this further, I have to get my Bible, because I want to read to you one of the gospel accounts. And the account I chose after looking at all of the accounts was the one from the Gospel of John. The empty tomb. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and he believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned home. I chose this particular passage because of a single phrase that's really, really struck me. And so I take you back to the words of the very beginning of the passage. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark. While it was still dark. And saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. And what I invite you to focus on is that phrase, while it was still dark. Because these five words allow us to get into the metaphysics of the resurrection story. These five words serve as a starting point for what Easter means and can mean for each and every one of us. With the exception of a few creatures like bats and skunks and vampires, nobody is particularly crazy about the dark. As kids, we were all afraid of the dark. And as we grow older, the darkness that we fear evolves and takes on many different forms. Today, the world is in a state of darkness from a pandemic that confines us. We take shelter in our homes as if they were caves. But even aside from the coronavirus, we all experience darkness in our lives from time to time. We experience it through all kinds of pain and suffering. We experience hurt. We get sick. We sometimes feel isolated, alienated, alone. It is common and natural that when somebody we really care for dies, passes on, in the very early stages of our grief, it's almost as if we are the ones that are entombed in some way. And for many, if not for most of us, perhaps cursed by our own human consciousness and the knowing of our own mortality, the worst darkness of all might be the inevitability of our own death. Whenever we know fear or uncertainty, we know darkness. While it was still dark. I apologize for starting out by taking us down this dark road, and no pun is intended. But it is out of the darkness that the miracle of the resurrection is birthed. It is remembering that it is from the darkness that we can appreciate that the resurrection is exactly that, a miracle. It is in the knowing that even death itself will eventually be cheated, will eventually be overcome. This is the basis, this is the reason that we come together today and we celebrate. Today we celebrate the removing of the stone. Because removing the stone is a metaphor that tells us that life of any kind cannot be contained, cannot be terminated. And it is in the removing of the stone that we are able to see the light. It is in the removing of the stone that we get to joyfully cry out, Hallelujah. Sometimes as a minister, I am asked by friends if I believe that the resurrection actually took place. Did Jesus really rise from the dead, or was he raised from the dead? Or was this just some kind of a myth around Jesus that somehow became propagated? And I always answer the same way to people who ask me that question. You're missing the point. Whether it happened historically or did not happen historically does not matter. It's of absolutely no consequence. The underlying message of all of the resurrection accounts is that there is absolutely nothing that you have ever experienced, may now be experienced, or ever will experience that is hurtful, painful, threatening, frightening in any way. There is nothing about it that cannot be transcended or overcome. The story of the resurrection is that there is no stone that may be blocking us from knowing and enjoying and living a full life of love and joy and peace. There is no stone that blocks this that cannot be removed. The stone gets removed in lots of ways. The Gospels suggest or hint that the stone maybe was removed by angels. The stories that report the statistics of COVID-19 are awfully dark and depressing. But look at all of the angels that are appearing out of the darkness to remove the stones. Look at the first responders, the police, firefighters, doctors, nurses, and so forth, that continue to selflessly show up on the front lines. Look at the retired medical professionals that have come out of retirement to answer the call, fully understanding the personal risk that is involved for them. Look at the professional artists, the singers, the entertainers that are stepping forward to do concerts and bring entertainment into us from their homes to help us get through this unprecedented crisis in our lifetimes. I invite you to seek out the feel-good stories of people showing up for one another and sometimes even putting themselves at risk by doing so. Look at the creativity springing forth from people, coming up with new ways of doing things and making things, like masks. And yes, look at the creativity in the jokes that have begun to surface. Because this too is a way of removing the stone. I have witnessed personally wonderful acts of kindness at the checkout lines in the supermarkets. And I have noticed people more and more saying to one another, not just hello, not just goodbye, but little phrases like, stay well, take care of yourself. Let me know if there's anything that I could do for you. From the dark, we approach what we thought was dead and gone, and we constantly find the stone is being removed. And we constantly discover new life. Even aside from the current pandemic, there are so many people who dare to lay claim to their inherent goodness. Surely the Christ has risen. The Christ keeps popping up in people's lives, enabling them to do wonderful things. Things like healing people. Things like trying to bring peace and reconciliation where there is none. And things like trying to feed starving children. There are so many people who prefer to light a candle rather than to curse the darkness. There are people who just want to manifest that inner Christ that dwells within each and every one of us, even if they would not put it in that particular language that we cling to so much in unity. There are so many people that are living the resurrection, not as an event that took place 2 millennia ago, but as an ongoing experience in everyday life. They understand that out of every darkness, the stone can be removed and they can live in the light. The greatest Easter sermon that I ever heard was delivered by a very old Catholic priest many, many years ago now. His message was so simple and yet so incredibly profound. What he said was this: you are, we are an Alleluia people. The resurrection story, whether an historical event or not, is telling you that there is nothing ever that you need fear. It is a story that affirms the presence of God, not just in the story of Jesus, but in every one of our lives. It is a story that affirms that you never need to remain in the dark. And if and when you are ready, God will be there to help you remove the stone that has been keeping you oppressed, that has been keeping you buried. It's a story that manifests the birth of a whole new consciousness in the entire world. And then that Catholic priest went on to say that we should always outwardly be proclaiming all of this openly with a loud, grand Alleluia. He challenged us to say Alleluia to others when we greeted them or meet them instead of just saying hello. He challenged us to answer the door and to answer our phones with an Alleluia. He challenged us not only to acknowledge but to dare to lay claim to the Easter within. The resurrection is not just an isolated event that took place some 2,000 years ago. The resurrection is an ongoing, everyday occurrence. We live in the midst of the resurrection. We are immersed in it like a fish is immersed in water. All we need to do to know it, to realize it, to feel it, is to remove the stone within us that wants to keep us entombed. And perhaps there is no better time to do this than those times when we still feel alone, still feel afraid, and still feel that we are in the dark. If we only dare to look inside, to search deep within, we will not find death, but rather we will find life. Deep within, the Christ is alive and passionately at work in our hearts. Now, today, on Easter Sunday, at a time when an invisible virus brings us sickness, death, and fear, now is the time, this is the hour to proclaim, as Jesus did, I am the resurrection. This pandemic may be the single biggest crisis that we have known in our entire lives. It is also our greatest opportunity to stop and live a life that death of any kind just can never possibly overcome. No, this definitely is not the end of the world. Today we stand firm and remain steadfast, and defiantly we say alleluia in response to any virus, any pain, any fear that tries to grab hold of and maintain a grip on us. What is it that makes us an alleluia people? What is it that makes us a resurrection people? Simply this. It is in the choosing to remove the stone instead of hiding behind it. Happy Easter, everybody. On behalf of me, behalf of the entire staff of Unity of Fox Valley, behalf of the Board of Trustees of Unity of Fox Valley, we bid you glad Easter tidings, and we bid you a blessed alleluia. And so it is. Let's now take this to prayer into meditation.